Who am I? Well, we all are here today, and I've written on the front of my bulletin, I'm a part of the ripple effect, and under the word ripple effect, the words, write gratitude. Would you do that? Take a moment, because I want to help you understand today how you can be a part of something much bigger than you could ever dream, and how that you today can be used of God. So I'm a part of the ripple effect, gratitude. I always hear people say, I can't make a difference. I am just one person. I don't have the resources, etc. Realize that even the smallest act of kindness creates a ripple effect. If every person did just one small thing, we would have a very different world. And so today, this is a very, very, very powerful message on the ripple effect of gratitude. And it's not just because it's Thanksgiving, because gratitude is a lifestyle, not just saying I'm thankful, and I'm going to teach that today. So if you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll begin reading 6. If you'll all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, and errant word. And I'm thankful for you, and I appreciate each of you today. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. You got your place? When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say wait. All right, I'll wait, but not long. Okay, 2 Corinthians. If it helps you, it comes right after 1 Corinthians, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. There's nothing wrong with a little joy in the house, okay? Amen. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able, and here's the key verse I want to talk about today, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispensed about, he has dispersed about, he hath given to the poor, his righteous remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply, this is important, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for your word today. We praise you that we have this precious, precious book. And your word comes with promise. It will not return void. I pray today, God, as your word goes forth, that it will be as a seed planted in each of our hearts. And that seed will germinate and bring forth life in us. And we'll see how that this seed has a ripple effect and how it can transform us. And I pray that today, that this message would not be about information, but transformation. I pray your Holy Spirit now, Lord, would anoint me afresh and anew and speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority, thus saith the Lord. And I'll promise you, Lord, I'll give you all the glory and honor and praise, for you're worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I may have told you about this pastor. He felt he had this need to warn this guest preacher, this guest evangelist who was doing a revival, about one particular man in his church. This man was a constant complainer. I mean, he complained about something all the time. If it won't his foot hurting or his leg hurting or his arm hurting or his hair hurting, I mean, he was finding something all the time to complain about. So this was the pastor's counsel to the guest preacher. Don't ask him how he's doing. Don't ask him. Well, the pastor, the guest preacher, he couldn't remember. He had never met the man. And so he was asking everybody as they went out the door that morning, how you doing? How you doing? And he asked the wrong man. The pastor just said, oh, I told you, I warned you. How are you doing? And the man said, oh, I'm doing fantastic. God is on his throne. Jesus is Lord. And I felt the presence of God here today like I've never felt it before. And the pastor standing there feeling like a liar, he said, well, wait a minute. I've known you for years. You've been a constant complainer. You've never been thankful for anything. What in the world changed? He said, well, I hired me a warrior. He said, you did what? He said, I hired me a warrior. He said, well, how in the world did you do that? He said, well, I found this man. He said he'd take all my problems, all my concerns, all my troubles, all my worries. He'd handle it all. The pastor asked him, said, does it cost much? He said, Shaw, yeah, it costs $500 a week. He said, well, man, I know you. You can't afford to pay him $500 a week. He said, well, I know that too, but I'm going to let him worry about it. You know, we laugh at that, but we do have someone who said, cast all my your cares on me because I care for you. Amen. We got someone like that, and he don't charge $500 a week. And the Bible says, by his stripes, we're healed. Now, I hope that you get something today out of this. And if you get one thing out of it, not only will your life multiply and you'll be blessed, but others will multiply around you. This church will multiply. We're going to talk about multiplication today. You see, gratitude is all about appreciation. It's about being and doing. I'd far rather see a church be the church than just do church. I'm grateful to be a part of you because you are all about being the church. I tell you, our church is a church that's on the move. And we're doing things. Faith without works is what?
Dead.
And I'm thankful, just like what you're doing Thursday. And that came all from this church. It didn't come from no one else. It just came from your heart. And it says a lot about you. If all of us would put our emotions and our energy into gratitude, like we put it into complaining about something, we would get far, far, far more done and accomplished. To complain does not give God any glory. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, and here's a good word, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And listen to the following scriptures. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace, now this is important, will sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of Jesus Christ. And I know there's someone sitting here, just as soon as I read that scripture where it says, in everything give thanks, that someone here today, you're hurting. You've lost a loved one this year. And you may not be thankful. And that's okay not to be thankful for some things. Because he didn't say be thankful for, he says be thankful in. There are many things we're not thankful for, but he did not say for all things, but in all things. To give gratitude is healthy. To your own benefit, and I say that as humbly as I know how, you may be hurting, you may have lost a loved one, but I'm telling you folks, I've preached funerals. I have. I've witnessed this personally with people who've grieved themselves to death. I preached a funeral years ago of a wife, and I knew this man, and I just knew what he was going to do, and sure enough, somehow it happened exactly. I didn't share it with nobody. I just thought it. He's going to grieve himself to death. In less than 9 months, I did his funeral. You can say, I don't believe that. I had another situation where this man and this woman, they were in love. They've been married 65 years. And when that dear man parted, that wife told me, she said, well, I got his ring around my neck. I kiss it every morning and say, good morning, Daddy. And every night I kiss it and say, good night, Daddy. And in 9 months, I found her dead. In fact, I'm the one that found her dead. I'm telling you something, folks. You can grieve yourself to death. We're to be thankful in all things, not for all things. You understand the difference, right? Well, I want to talk just a minute about the giving of gratitude. What does that look like? The giving of gratitude. And I want to bring your attention to a Newsweek magazine article that just came out this week. 5 scientifically proven benefits of gratitude. And you can see the date up there. It was dated yesterday, in fact. Okay, here are those 5 things. 5 scientific proven benefits of gratitude. Number 1, more hopeful and healthier if you have gratitude. Improve sleep quantity. I could use that, okay? Increase self-esteem. Increase helpfulness and empathy. Increase mental and emotional resilience. I'm telling you, and there's many more, but those are the 5 highs that are proven benefits for us. So what I'm trying to say is this. You can suffer in this life, or you can be thankful for what God has given you. Listen to this next one. None is more impoverished than the one who has no gratitude. Gratitude is a currency that can mint for ourselves and spent with fear, with no fear of bankruptcy, without fear. I'm telling you something. You can't have enough gratitude. But I'll tell you this, just a little gratitude can go a long ways. And we're going to see that today, all right? Number one, the condition. We're talking about gratitude, okay? How to give gratitude. Notice what he says in verse 6 of chapter 9. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he that sows sparingly. Now, the Greek word there, sparingly, means to be stingy. Y'all know anybody like that? Now, he that sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. So if you're stingy, you're going to reap stinginess, okay? He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Do y'all know that I didn't write that? That's God's word, okay? So the Greek word here for sparingly means to hold something back. Why would you hold back gratitude? Why would you hold anything back? Why would you hold back from serving God? Why would you hold back when God asks you to give? In other words, don't be stingy. The Greek word for bountifully is the word euloia, and it combines two words, eu, which it means good, and logos, which means word. Literally, it means good word, but it came to mean blessing. The idea then is that the person who dispenses blessing will receive blessing. Now, we're going to lay a little foundation here, but we're going to get into something very deep today in talking about God's cycle of sufficiency. But it all starts right here with the blessing that God will bless, and you will receive blessing. Keep in mind that we are not likely to reap bountifully if we sow sparingly. Gratitude and abundance are directly linked. The more gratitude we have, the more abundant life we will experience. You see, gratitude makes you healthier, makes you happier. Gratitude makes all the difference. It has the ripple effect. The ripple effect is always about cause and effect. The ripple cause is our sowing. The effect, the result, is our reaping. Give sparingly, reap sparingly. Give bountifully, reap bountifully. Remember these four or five things. We will reap only if we sow. We will reap what we sow. We will reap more than we sow. We will reap proportion to what we sow. You will reap proportionally to what you sow. And here's what God says. Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 8. Be not deceived. Are y'all listening? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. Now I want to ask you something. Is it fleshly to give gratitude? No, because gratitude is a spiritual thing. It really is. It's not just a bunch of emotions. God created us to give Him glory. That's our purpose for living. And God wants us to understand the importance of gratitude. Okay, so that's the condition. What you sow is what you reap. Here's the choice. Every man, verse 7, it says, every man according as he purposed in his heart. Talking about choice there. So let him give. Gratitude is a choice. That says everything about our relationship to our God. Gratitude is a spiritual practice. God gives eternal choices, and these choices have eternal consequences. You choose your attitude of gratitude. And everybody has an attitude here today. It's easy to get an attitude, isn't it? Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You have them, I have them, we all have an attitude. But could we choose, yes we can, to have an attitude of gratitude? It would make all the difference in our families. If we would look more for what we are thankful for, what we're grateful for, I mean, oftentimes, you know, our flesh thinks about what we don't have instead of what we do have. Amen? Think about those children. I know sometimes they drive us nuts, but aren't you thankful for every one of them? I mean, what about that husband? What about that wife that drives you? Everybody, I'll tell you why, I am not lying. To be up here is funny sometimes. I am not lying to you folks. I saw three people just put their arm around their spouse. I'm telling you something. But aren't you thankful for them? I mean, there's a lot of widows and a lot of widowers. And that's always not a fun thing. We have tried to make an effort in our church, especially with our deacon ministry. And I'm so proud of our deacons. I'm humbled by them because I see them stepping up. I went to see Miss Ollie this week, and she told me about one of our deacons who came to her last month. Miss Ollie's dying. She's not going to be here much longer. But it just brought tears to my eyes. She said, well, all he did, preacher, he just came and read scripture to me. What more do you need? Amen. And how that blessed her. It's a choice. We choose what we do with our time and our energy and our attitudes. Gratitude is a virtue most worthy of our cultivation. Indeed, in all the Christian life, gratitude is to be planted. It is to be watered. It is to be dressed. It is to be harvested. Gratitude gets at the very essence of what it means to be created, finite, fallen, redeemed, and sustained by the God of all grace. Now, I'm laying into it, and we're to be cheerful about it, the giving of gratitude, not grudgingly or of necessity, not because you have to do it, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know why God's word says that? Because God is saying this, if you're going to be stingy and you're going to be grudging, you're going to grudge, you're going to hate giving that gift, then just don't give it. I don't want it. It means nothing to me. Don't give it because you're obligated to. No, don't do that. That's not the right. Well, I just feel like that God needs my money. Poor old God. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. You say, well, why do we give then? Because we need God. That's why. It's not that God needs us. We need God. Hold your breath while I preach and see if you can make it without him, okay? Giving. God is a giving God. He wants you to be a giving person because he gives joyfully, he gives cheerfully. It means giving not because you have to, but because you get to. Not only does it say God does not want you to give if you give grudgingly, neither does he want us to give of necessity. He doesn't want us to give at all unless we're given willfully and we're given cheerfully. First Chronicles 29:9 says this best about King David. Then the people rejoice for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. It's a joy when people do what they're doing out of a willing heart. Amen? Not because you have to, but you get to. Not because you say, well, it's my Christian duty. No. Because I've got joy down in my heart. I've got a peace of God that I've done what God has called me to do. And we're going to see the power of that in just a minute. We give because of our hearts are right with God. We give because we love God. God does not want one penny from us if we would rather keep it to ourselves. Gratitude is giving out of the heart, not the head. But where your treasure is, the Bible says, that's where your heart is. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right, now we're going to start digging a little deeper, but we ain't got there yet. The grace of gratitude. The grace of gratitude. Notice in verse 8, and God is able. Now this is good. And God is able to make all grace abound toward us, that ye having always, there's a lot of alls in here. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. All giving is wrapped up in grace. 2 Corinthians 8:1-2, God poured out his grace upon the Macedonia church, and they became very liberal in their giving, even though they were, in deep poverty. They hardly had nothing. Maybe think of, was it Elisha who went to the woman who had nothing, and her all she had was a little oil? And he told her, said, collect all the vessels you can get. I'll go to all your neighbors and get all the vessels that can hold oil. And guess what? God, and we're going to teach this today, he blessed, and that oil multiplied, and it filled up every one of those vessels. That's the grace of grace and giving go together. All right, it speaks of the sovereignty of God. You see, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward who? Toward you. That's important. Just as God is able to make the sowing of seed abound to a great harvest, so is God able to bless our giving. It all starts with you. Note, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God's grace is not just abounding, but it's abounding toward us. Your ripple effect begins with you. Your ripple effect begins with prayer. Trust God to use you and us together to bring about a ripple effect that will continue to build his kingdom one life at a time. That's our church's vision, to transform our communities one person at a time. Life is the pond. Your life is the flat rock. Place your life in God's hands and allow him to cast you on the waters. Watch the ripple effect your life will have each place you land in life. God is our rock, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Our God is in control. Now, I don't mean to put J.W. and Mary Lee on the spot, but Mary Lee just shared with me, and I just got through saying this, your ripple effect begins with you. Your ripple effect begins with prayer. So I guess one of them could tell it better than I could, but Friday you were without no water. No water. You want to stand up and tell that right quick? Tell that what you just, she just told me this in the welcome time.
We got up Friday morning. Our well had gone completely dry. We could see the rocks in the bottom of our well. Jay turned the pump off and the hot water heater for obvious reasons. We didn't know what to do. So we prayed. We prayed all day Friday. We prayed all day. All day, all night. And he got up yesterday morning and he said, Mary, you're not going to believe this. I just went and looked in that well. It's level to the ground.
Amen. 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 Does God hear prayer? Amen. And was there a ripple effect? Literally, I mean, they had a well full of water. By the way, that's not the first time he's done that. He said to the woman at the well, he said, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. God has, do you know he owns the water? Okay. He owns it all. He's the creator God, as we're going to see in just a moment. I love this song. I know our choir has done it. I asked Johnny, could he pull it up? And I don't think he could pull it up because it goes with a choir musical or something. But I can't sing, so I'll just read it to you, all right? I love this song. My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Forever he will reign. My God is awesome, awesome, awesome. My God is awesome, awesome, awesome. My God is awesome, Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Praise his holy name. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's awesome. Awesome. He's holy. He's holy. He's great. He's great. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's deliverer. He's holy. He's provider. He's protector. My God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weakened. Praise his holy name. How can I not have gratitude for a God like that? He is awesome. And he's sovereign, which means he's in control no matter what happens. Let me tell you something, folks. He had the first word, and he'll have the last word. In the beginning was God. Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Why can't we trust a God like that? We'll trust him for our eternal salvation, but we won't trust him for our day-to-day living right here now. Why can't we trust God? Because he is sovereign. Also, he's sufficient. Notice he says in verse 8 about his sufficiency, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. I want to introduce you now to a concept that I call God's cycle of sufficiency. God's cycle of sufficiency. This is the second point, Johnny. It goes full circle from God's ability. Sweeps down to man, through man, to meet needs that all good works demand. And back again to the glory of God, where it all begins. Now, I'm going to give you some details about this. And if you don't learn anything else today, I really want you to learn about this cycle of sufficiency. God's ability is the might of it. It says in verse 8, and God is able. The Bible says God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. So understand that God's ability is the might of it. All grace is the measure of it, because he says he can make all grace. God's grace is God's favor. God is not against us. He's for us. God's love, his favor, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. So God is sufficient to save, and thank God that his grace is the measure of it. Abounding is the matter of it. He's able to abound. In other words, to overflow. He can get the water back up even with the ground. I mean, you look and you see nothing all of a sudden. That's God's sufficiency. Abounding toward you is the motion of it. Toward you is the motion of it. Our adequacy is the means of it. All sufficiency. Every good work is the ministry of it. A good work. Now, we're going to elaborate on this because I want to show you in my last point how you and I can have and see the fruits of righteousness in our life. And we're going to talk about maturity. So I'm going to go back to that in just a second. But and before we get, I want to just sow a seed right then. And by the way, there's power in sowing seeds. God performs a miracle called germination. And we're going to get to that in a minute too. We're talking about what you sow is what you reap. So right now, all I'm trying to do is plant a thought in your mind of God's cycle of sufficiency. And then we're going to see it germinate and see what happens, okay, in just a second. The third word I'm going to give you here is service. He says, may abound to every good work. Okay, so his sufficiency is to make something happen, and it's in and through us. When we have a heart of gratitude by the grace of God, you know what? There's something that just overflows in us. He says that may abound to every good work. Observe here, the source of the abounding is God's ability. Observe the supply of the abounding is God's grace. And observe the service of the abounding is every good work. I'm going to tell you, every good thing comes from God. And God wants to do a good work in and through you today. Right now, I promise you, it's today. Today is the day for you. It is. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because tomorrow's not promised. Tomorrow's past. Yesterday's past. You can't redo what was just. But you can understand a great truth today. Here's the great truth. And I struggle with this a little bit, what to title this. But the more I studied, the more it made sense to me. I wanted to study my last point, my last point was the God of gratitude. But it's really not the God of gratitude as much as it is the gift of gratitude. So lastly, the gift of gratitude. Notice in verse 9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 9, Paul is quoting Psalm 112, verse 9. He is alluding to the generosity and the righteousness of a godly person rather than God himself. So that's why I'm focused on the gift of gratitude, because God's given us a precious gift here. You see, we were created in his image. And let me tell you something, folks. God loves you. You know that, right? But he's also thankful for you. I mean, you are a precious, precious being to God, more than you realize. Not only did he create you, he provided recreation in Christ Jesus. So he's proved it twice that he loves you, okay? I mean, he died on the cross for you. All right, so the word I want you to get here, these gifts, and this applies to our vision, it applies to the ministry that we see happening in our church, and that is the word ministry. He says, verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. The gift of gratitude will always acknowledge the giver of all good things. God, of course, is the one who supplies the seed. Who makes seed? God. Yeah, no man makes a seed. God makes the seed. He says, the one who supplies the seed and bread. This is the same God who feeds the birds of the sky who don't sow, reap, or gather in the barns. Now, that's an important thing. I'm afraid that there are a lot of churches out there, and there's a lot of ministries out there, and there's a lot of people out there that don't understand what ministry is all about. Ministry is never about hoarding anything. Hoarding our time, hoarding our in other words, being a selfish people will never get you nowhere. And that's why a lot of churches are hurting today, and a lot of churches are suffering, because the question that people are asking today in coming to church is, what's in it for me? Okay, what's in it for me? So we're not focused on giving gratitude or giving the gift of gratitude. We are about ourselves. Ministry is all about God. Matthew 6:26 tells about the birds. They sow not, they reap not, they don't gather in barns, but God provides every need they have. It is the same God who gives rain from the sky and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Acts 14:17 says that. It is the same God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The ministry is what God does through us. I want you to please get that. It's what he does through us. So his all grace is abounding, what do you say? To every good work. But he says, always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. But he says, all grace abounds toward you. So God wants to do his ministry through you. Y'all got that, right? We are the body of Christ. We are his hands. We're his feet. We're his people. So I'm laying some great groundwork here, because here's really what I want to get into. Our God is all about ministry. And by the way, the only stuff he blesses is his stuff. There are a lot of churches that they think they're doing ministry. But if it's not done biblically and if it's not done God's way, I was talking to some of our deacons out here last Sunday night, and we were talking about where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And one of the deacons said, well, let me give you a modern day interpretation of what Jesus was saying. It's my way or the highway. There's no other way to heaven. Now, you can think there's other ways, but the only thing God blesses is his way. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You want a life? Then know me. Amen? All right. Now here we're going to get into the meat of it. Multiply. He says in verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Let me talk about Jesus a minute, about how he was so concerned about the multitude and multiplying. You remember this story, it's in Matthew 14, where the disciples were saying to Jesus, you know, it's getting late and you need to send the people away. We don't have anything to feed them, and just send them away so they can get their own food. Jesus said, we need not to send them away. And the Bible says that he looked upon the multitude, listen to me, with compassion. Well, we need to have more compassion. All of us do. I'll raise my hand, okay? Because when Jesus looked upon the multitude with compassion, he began to multiply. All he had was a boy's lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know the story, don't you? So what does Jesus do? He looks to heaven. He looks to the Father. He offers a prayer of thanks, gratitude. God, I'm thankful for what I have. Don't have but 5 loaves. Don't have but 2 fish. But such as I have, God, you are a sufficient God and you're able. And I'll tell you, through that prayer, 5 loaves and 2 fishes fed 5,000 men. Not only 5,000 men, but more than likely 5,000 women, because if the men got any sense, they got some good women with them. All right? But not only with 5,000 men and 5,000 women, but if they had the women, they probably had the children too. Amen? And so there was a bunch of kiddos running around. I'm telling you, after it was all done, there were 12 baskets left over. From 5 loaves and 2 fish. You said, well, preacher, that's what Jesus did. Do you understand that Jesus was but a man on this earth? Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Yeah, he was born as a little baby. He became flesh. He said, I do nothing except what my Father does. He says, I say nothing except what I hear my Father say. So I know he's the God-man, but what I am trying to say is this. He set the example for all of us. And if we would have the same heart that Jesus had, compassion for the multitude, we'd see God multiply. We would with the 5 loaves. Such as I have. Now, do what this one is teaching here, Jesus Christ, and be blessed and be multiplied, because I believe what Jesus did, he set the right example for us all. God multiplies. He multiplies seed sown. Greatly, he says, will increase your means of doing good, makes the result of all your benefactors so to abound about you may have the means of doing good again. In other words, what God's abounding toward you, he's doing it to bless someone else. And that's the third word, and this is where we're really going to dive in, maturity. Because you see, a hoarder is not a mature person. A hoarder is someone who's going to hold on to all they can. That's sort of like the old saying, get all you can all you can get, and sit on the can. That's what a hoarder is, okay? I'm going to hoard because I don't know what tomorrow holds. So he sows sparingly. But gratitude sows bountifully. Don't let me lose you. This is my last point. Verse 10, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What is a blessing before it's a blessing? I taught you that last Sunday. How many of you were listening? All right, what is a blessing before it's a blessing? Obedience. Some of you were listening. I applaud you. Amen. You were listening. You didn't fall asleep on me last week. So what is, now this is the deepest part. What is a blessing before it's a blessing? It's obedience. This verse helps us to understand that because of one's maturity to obey God, he blesses and meets the needs of the many who have not. Jesus said, there will always be poor among you. There will always be those who have needs among you. This is where we go back now to God's cycle of sufficiency. This is where it's best seen at. Because I believe this is only for those who understand, who are mature enough in their faith to be obedient to God. Not to be a hoarder of God's resources, but to be a person of gratitude to give. As one person hears the call of God to bless others, it is that person that God uses to cause the ripple effect with the seed of blessing and gratitude. In other words, this is the person who gets it. I got one deacon's always telling me this. He says, preacher, some people just don't never get it. You can talk to Rich Yaco about that later. He likes it when people get it. Some people just don't get it. But I want you to get it. God's cycle of sufficiency. Our provider God gives the seed. Can I get an amen? Our provider God gives us seed. Now I'm going back to the cycle of sufficiency, and this is what I want you to remember about this message today. Our God is the provider God. He gives the seed. The mature, obedient Christian sows the seed with the motive to bless others. He sows the seed, not for himself, not for his family, but to bless others. I wished I'd have had the chance to meet Jim Klein, Faye's husband. I understood about, I've never met him, but I've heard a lot of people speak of him, how he touched so many people, because he didn't grow a garden for him and Faye and his child, but he grew it for everybody else. And he would let people just come and take what you want. No charge. And you know what? It ain't none of my business. I've never made it none of my business. But what I know about Jim and Faye Klein, they have never gone wanting. In fact, what I do know about this widow, she's very blessed. Why? Because there was one man who was willing to be obedient. And he sowed his seed, not for himself, or not even his family, but thinking of others. All right, not done yet. As one person hears the call of God to bless others, it is that person that God uses to cause the ripple effect of blessing and gratitude. In other words, this is the person who gets it, God's cycle of sufficiency. And our provider God gives the seed. The mature, obedient Christian sows the seed with the motive to bless others. Creator God works his miracle called germination. What a neat concept. It's a miracle. The seed's planted in the ground. What does it do? Huh? It dies. It takes root. And all of a sudden, life sort of reminds me of the resurrection. Then Creator God, what does he do? Creator God, he sends the sunshine and the rain to grow the plant from the seed that was sown, or seed sown. Multiplying God takes the one seed and multiplies it. He multiplies it into many, many more seeds. You ever eaten an ear of corn? Hello, you plant one seed, and not only do you get one ear of corn, you get a whole stalk of ears. By the way, I enjoyed corn more this year than I've ever enjoyed. And we got it from Walmart. Man, it was fresh. I was shocked. Some came fresh. Anyway, it was good. How is it that God, in his creative power, germinates that seed, sends the rain, sends the sunshine, and that one seed grows into a whole stalk, and you've got ears and ears of corn that have many kernels of corn upon it. Multiplying God takes that one seed, multiplies it into many more seeds. The mature, obedient harvester uses the harvest to feed the hungry and provide for the poor. God's cycle of sufficiency gives the mature, obedient harvester much more seeds to sow for even greater crops that will come. The harvester is so grateful to God because God has increased the fruits of righteousness, and righteousness is obedience. And this farmer, this person who wants to make a difference in the lives of others was just simply obedient to God to plant the one seed that God gave him. And God gives the increase so much so that when your motive is right, to bless others. And that's the motive. He says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth ripple effect through us thanksgiving to God. The ripple effect of all ripple effects is that we are motivated with the gift of gratitude to give glory, honor, praise in thanksgiving to God. Gratitude should motivate us to do something, or better, to be something. God will bless exceedingly and abundantly, bountifully, above all you could ever ask or think, when your motive is gratitude to God. Folks, gratitude brings life. You want life? Then take this seed today. Take this seed. Take it. And see what happens when that seed takes root in your heart. And there's a germination that takes place down in your soul. And all of a sudden, glory to God, there's life bursting forth out of you. And
all of a sudden, there's more seed because this seed will not return void, and it'll change lives.
Look up here, folks. God wants to multiply this church. But the cycle of God's grace of sufficiency is towards you. Yeah. Let me read that one more time. I'll let you go. And God is able to make all the grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, church, go out and do the good work. That's all you got to do. You say, preacher, I sure would like to see this church slammed full of people. Let's just keep sowing the seed. Sow the seed. You say, well, preacher, don't you think if we got us some fog machines and some fine lights and, I mean, come on, preacher, get the life. I mean, you got to get with it. I mean, maybe we can pop some drums. And I like drums. I like music. But I don't believe you have to work yourself up in a sense of false praise. It comes from an overflow of gratitude. I'm not against none of this. But I am for this, you and I doing what this says. And when you and I do what this says, God will fill this house with the biggest fog machine you've ever seen. Oh, yeah, with His glory. It's so thick in here, we'd have to all buy us a C&I dog to get out of here. I mean, God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask to think. But you got to use the seed He's given you. And folks, I don't know about you. I don't know a whole lot. All I know is this. This seed will not return void. I said this seed will not return void. And I don't want to sow any false seed here. There's only one way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the gospel. Will you receive Him today? Let's pray. Father, I pray for Your Holy Spirit now to do His work. I believe the Holy Spirit's all about germination. He's all about taking the seed of Your word and cultivating it and convicting us and drawing us to say, yes, I want to be a part of this cycle of sufficiency. And God, I'm thankful that our God is sufficient to save. Oh, He planted the seed of all seed. What a ripple effect when Your Son died on that cross for our sins. And yes, He was put into the ground. He was buried in a tomb. But on the third day, He got up from that grave. And because He lives, anybody can be saved here today. Now, these other gods are all dead. And these dead religions can't save anybody. But God, You can save everybody. Because You died for all. This is Your invitation. I'm done. I've done what You led me to do. I've tried to sow your seed today. Now, God, would You give the increase and get the glory? We offer to You a prayer of thanksgiving out of a heart overflowing with gratitude for Jesus, our Son, Your Savior, Your Son and our Savior. Thank You so much for Jesus. Lord, we can't help but have hearts overflowing today with gratitude for our salvation. And if there's one today who don't know You, all of us pray together now, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would draw that person to Yourself. This is Your invitation. May there be a harvest of souls in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing together.